Blog Talk Radio.
Like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, afflicted, sick or lame. Hallelujah. For the power of the Lord is still the same. So lean on somebody and tell them, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Can I say it again? You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, afflicted, sickle man. For the power of the Lord, it still remains the same. My time is up. But I got to say it one more time. You won't leave here like you came. Is there anybody need a blessing tonight? In Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, afflicted, and in pain. Oh, Lord. Just so cool. For the power of the Lord. I said the power of the Lord. The power of the Lord, it remains the same. Say it quiet. I said you won't leave here. You want to lift up your hands and bless them tonight. I said I won't leave here. Oh, yeah. I'm not leaving here like I can. Give the Lord a praise offering in this place. I don't know what you came in the house with today, but if you cast your cares on the Lord, tell somebody you don't have to leave here like you came. Be healed, be delivered, and be set free. Ah, yeah. Patterson, who's my mama, and I check with Moses. Let me hear the key of G. This ain't playing. Let me hear G. Yeah. Something on the inside, moving on the outside.
Oh, what a day in my life.
Good morning. Oh, what a change in my life. I hope today's program will bring changes to each and every person. I have people already have signed in and have their little one button so they can talk this morning on this topic. Praise the Lord. But let us go before God in prayer. Then we will start with our lesson today. Dear Lord, help me, oh gracious Father, to not be caught up in religion, but to be caught up in spirit, your Holy Spirit, that I might be more effective in my prayer and be obedient to you. I want to serve your divine purpose, Lord, and do what is good and right in your sight. Allow me, dear Lord, to live in your light and the love that you have for me. Show me how to be helpful to your kingdom. Show me how to live a life of constant praise to you. Bless Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, today we have an exciting topic that should have been brought forth a long time ago. So today I decide to bring this topic. And each person that come on so far, I think of pastors, bishops, apostles, prophets, for this topic. So I want you all to just look on your keypad. Hit one when y'all want to say something, because I'm going to bring y'all in for the world to hear today. What is the fivefold ministry taken from Ephesians 4 and 11? You know, Yahweh gave to the church both corporate and local the fivefold ministry. First, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teachers. You know, the fivefold ministry represents the hand of God in the church today. This is the hand that performed the work that he desired in this world today. To put the saints, to identify, equip, and involve the saints in the work of the ministry to edify the body of Christ. You know, we have so many people do not believe in the fivefold ministry, and I don't know why, because it's in his word. Everything that God say in his word is true. So I already have people got my phone lit up today. Area code 304. I'm going to punch you on if you want to say something before I go in. But I'm going to bring you in and let you know, area code 304, you are now on. Welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. So glad you have come on. Did you have something you want to say? Or do you just want to listen? But you're not on my switchboard. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of people say, what is the fivefold ministry? Well, you know what? I am glad you're asked. You know, the concept of the fivefold ministry comes from Ephesians 4 and 11. It was he who gave some to be, the word of God telling you now, apostle, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Primarily as a result of this verse, some believe God has restored or is restoring the office of apostle and prophets in the church today. When you read in Ephesians 4, 12, and 13, they tell us that the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to prepare God's people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, obtaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So since the body of Christ definitely is not built up to unity in the faith and has not obtained to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, you know, the thinking goes, the office of apostle and prophets must still be in effect, which it is. You know, when I went to Ephesians 2 and 20, it informed us that the church is built on the foundation, the apostle and prophet, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. You know, if the apostle and the prophet were the foundation of the church, are we still building the foundation? I jump right on over to Hebrews 6, 1 and 3. And it says, encouraging us to move on from the foundation. Although Jesus Christ is most definitely active in the church today, his role as the cornerstone of the church was complete with his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. If the work of the cornerstone is in that sense complete, so much work of the apostles and prophets who were the foundation that is still in the world today. I have some callers on the line, and I'm fixing to bring in area code 770 and caller 304. If you want to come in, I already have you up on my switchboard, and I'm bringing caller 770 on at this time. You may go ahead and speak, caller 770, and welcome to Blog Talk, Joy and Peace. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, Madam Teacher, and all those that's on the line. This is Prophet Andrew Sims of out of Atlanta, Georgia, and in the Houston and Galveston area. I just want to say that if anybody under the sound of my voice can connect with God and ask God questions, what is really going on by what you see? Now, if you can connect with God, you will notice that the church is in trouble. And the reason why the church is in trouble today is because the fivefold ministry is not operating in the church.
Amen.
All you have to do, anybody under the sound of my voice, is just look at what is taking place. The power of the true and living God to stand, to bring about a change, is non-existent because the fivefold ministry is not operating. You don't have the people that's operating in the church today that's willing to stand because it's all about the dollars and the cents. So if I have a church and I've got people that's in my church that's bringing in a considerable amount of money, I'm not going to speak on sin. I'm not going to speak on unholiness. I'm not going to speak on unrighteousness. But that's because the fivefold ministry is now operating. But if there were apostles, if there were prophets and evangelists operating for the perfecting of the church, you would be able to see the demonstration, the manifestation, and the power of God being exercised throughout the church today. Now, you can see that there's a form of godliness, but because of the fivefold ministry is not operating, there's no power. So how is it possible that there's only one office operating in the church and the church seems to be going in the opposite direction of what Jesus intended for it to do? So if you believe not in the fivefold ministry, then how is it that homosexuals and lesbians are able to establish a church? I just want to know. Somebody needs to help me out. Back to you, caller.
Thank you so much, Prophet, out of Atlanta, Georgia. Well, we have someone on area code 304. Would you like to respond to any of that area code 304?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Well, we're giving God the praise today, because I know I probably will step on some people's feet today bringing this up, but I've been visiting church after church. And if the fivefold ministry, and people say that they're a fivefold ministry, speaking in tongues, laying on hands, delivering, and all this, I'm not seeing this in the church. And we wondered why we cannot get the people to come to church anymore. You come to the church sick. Sick in spirit, sick in body, sick in mind. The church, which is in us, but the building you go to, that's supposed to be the hospital. But if the people is coming and leaving the same way that they came, there's something wrong. God has given us dominion, power, and authority. He left everything we needed to keep going. You know, and I just wrote some notes out for myself. And I'm going to just read these to you, what I had wrote down. How should the church be structured? Are any structures given in Scripture? The fivefold ministry is one such structure. Excuse me. Yahweh gave to the church, both corporate and local, the fivefold ministry, which I told you earlier, you find in Ephesians 4 and 11. And you know, he gave us apostles, he gave us prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But why have it come where the pastor has sit down the apostle, he has sit down the prophets, he has sit down the evangelists, and he has sit down the teachers? But now if you read it in the Bible, it says apostle, prophet, evangelist. The pastor is the fourth one, teachers is the fifth. But in the majority of the churches you go to now, the pastor is leading all the fivefold ministry and the people that God has sent under him to be shepherd. They're sitting in the pews, gifts going to waste. You know, are you looking for the hand of Yahweh? You can find it in any local church. Each of the ministries represent a finger. And just look at your hand. Each one of those fingers that God give you on your body represent the Bible ministry. Together, all five create the hand. And the purpose of the fivefold ministry is found, like I said, in 4 and 11, to perfect the saints, to identify, equip, and involve the saints in the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ. You know, the fivefold ministry will remain in place. Once you set it up, it will remain in place. But how many pastors are we letting them come in and put the fivefold ministry in your church? That's what the Word of God says. We all come in the unity of faith. We all have knowledge of the Son of God. We all become a perfect man unto the statutes of the fullness of Christ. You know, the fivefold ministry will help us to stop being like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone else has told us something different or has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Now, how many times you have heard that? God has set five senses in the human body for the protection and care of the body. So has he set five ministries as the spiritual sense of the body of Christ for its protection and care. You know, I'm going to give you some examples. You know, the fivefold ministry's gifts are examples of how grace has been given as Christ appropriated. You know, all ministry is simply the ministry of Christ, especially through the believers by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Christ is our apostle. You'll find that in Hebrews 3:1. Prophets, you'll find in Luke 24:19. Evangelists, you'll find that in Matthew 9:35. Pastors, you'll find in 1 Peter 5:2-4. And teachers, you'll find them in John 3:2. You know, every ministry, including that of the fivefold, is an extension of the ministry of Christ himself. You know, the fivefold ministry are not self-commissioned, nor are they simply leaders of a church. They are clearly defined ministries that have impact on the church as a whole. My, my, my. So I'm going to start talking about the apostle duty of the fivefold ministry. I'm going to just give a little synopsis. Somebody can come on and correct me or tell me something else that I may not have, because we all here to learn. An apostle is one chosen and sent with a special commission. The 12 apostles chosen by Jesus was witness of the resurrection. You'll find that in Acts 1:15 and then in chapter 4:33. And everything I'm giving you today is scripture, so you can write it down and go back and back it up, because anything I come on this broadcast with, I'm going to back it up with scripture. But there were many other true apostles in Acts 14:3-4, Romans 16:7, and you can go to 1 Corinthians 15:5-7. Also Galatians 1:1-19. And then you'll know you'll find also as well as false ones, false apostles, false prophets. You'll find that also. You know, the minister and an apostle include pioneer new churches. And the background scriptures for that is 1 Corinthians 9:2, 1 Corinthians 3:6. Grounding the church in truth, Colossians 1:25. Preserving unity in the body, 1 Corinthians 3:3-5. Laying the foundation in the church, these apostles now. Setting things in order. Fostering a vision beyond the local church. Ordering new ministry, you find that in 2 Timothy 1:6, and a breakthrough type ministry of miracles. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians 12:12. You know, the apostolic ministry is kind of centered at the thumb. Look at your hand. The thumb of the hand. That's the apostle. It is only the finger that can touch the others among the many purpose of the apostolic ministry. One is set the house in order. You first find that in 1 Corinthians 11 and 34. And to provide proper government and proceeding in the house of Yahweh. Indeed, all things must be done decently and in order. This area of our ministry is responsible to ensure that our work is efficiently operated, compelling with the biblical and the government requirement and guidelines. You may have some more, but I'm just giving you a brief synopsis today. Now we're going to pass on to the prophet. That had, a lot of people want to say they don't have prophets in the church today. Yes, we have one on the line now, may have two on the line right now that have come forth to let you know prophet is still for today. You know, there is also a such thing as a false prophet. You'll find that in 1 John 4 and 11. And so God set clear guidelines. You know, prophecy should be time-tested. You'll find that in Acts 11 and 28. And the word of a prophet are judged by church leadership. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 14 and 29. Any prophecy should be confirmed independently. You'll find that in 2 Corinthians 13 and 1. Any prophecy should line up with Scripture. The sure word of prophecy, you'll find that in 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. You know, the prophet operates best in teamwork with the apostle. Here you see about Paul and Silas. A prophet is not just someone with a prophetic anointing, but a recognized ministry to the body at large. Note, there are three levels of prophecy. The word of prophecy, limited to strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 14, 3 and 31. The spirit of prophecy on a group, 1 Samuel 10 and 10. And the ministry of the prophet, hallelujah, 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 29. All believers are encouraged to move in words of prophecy. But only a prophet should exercise the authority of prediction, direction, and corrective prophecy, even then only with clear protective guidelines. You know, if there are pastors today and evangelists today, there must be prophets today. You know, everybody want to just lean on the pastor. But it's telling you, if there are pastors and evangelists today, there must be prophets today also. Yes, prophets are part of the fivefold ministry. Yes, there are saints in the body of Christ that have the gift of prophecy or that occupy the office of a prophet. They foretell, they tell and foretell. Their prophecy, whether in words or in song, can be judged by the prophecy of Scripture, which is improbable. This ministry is designed to create a calamity that encourages Yahweh people to prophesy. You know, God's people should use this gift to edify, exalt, and comfort each other. This ministry is also responsible to recording prophecy utterance, safeguarding God's word, lest it should fall to the ground. Now, we have a prophet on the line today. Would you like to say something instead of that, on behalf of that, as a man of God, as a prophet? Prophet from area code 770 by way of Atlanta, Georgia, before I go on to the next one.
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Yes, ma'am. When you think about the fivefold ministry and how ineffective that the church is today, I just got off the phone with the pastor. He didn't believe in women preachers. He didn't believe in prophets, apostles, and he didn't believe in none of the stuff that brings about perfection in the church. And what's amazing about it, these people have followers. And the bad part about it, they won't let the women say nothing. They won't let the women do nothing. And you'd be surprised of how many people are actually following this tradition. Mm-hmm. And they wonder why come the church doesn't have any power.
Ah.
If we take the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the women out of the church, who's going to be left in the church, y'all?
Nobody.
So it's time for the body of Christ to wake up. When will we wake up? Don't seem like nobody's willing to stand for the price that our Savior's paid. So if we take the women out of the church, we've already done took the apostles and the prophets where they can't say nothing. Well, who's going to be left? Back to you, Madam Teacher.
Yes, thank you so much. And, you know, my question is to the listening audience today, are there true prophets today? Yes. If the purpose of the prophet was to reveal truth from God, why would we need prophets? If we have the complete revelation from God in the Bible, if prophets was the foundation of the early church, and we still building the foundation today, we know that we need prophets. God reveals truth to someone in a supernatural way and enable that person to deliver that message to other absolute. That is the biblical gift of prophets and prophecy. And, you know, as you mentioned just a while ago, of the women preaching, pastors speaking, you know, they take the word out of context over in the Word of God when it was talking about the Ephesian church had a problem with false teaching. And in 2 Timothy 3:1-9, they said the women who previously wasn't allowed to study would be easily swayed by false teaching. And, you know, there was asking Paul about it, you know, because what was going on in the church at that time. But here, when you keep reading your words, you turn over to Galatians 3:26-29, it said, we would like to encourage you to be prayerful. Study that. These verses point out in the sight of God, there is no distinction between male and female, because we are all one in Christ Jesus. And they can go to Joel and read. So I don't know where the men of God have gotten where. I do prison ministry. I'm a chaplain in the prison. I go into the jail, and I see the women is ministering to the men because the men have given up their rightful place on the outside where they should be. So God is raising up women that he needs that say, yes, I would go. I would do what you say do. And so many men are not picking up the call and the spare for what God have called them to do. They are hiding behind this one or hiding behind that. But it's time for the women and men of God to step forward, stand up, do the calling God have given to you to do. And at this time, I'm going to go on to the evangelist. You know, the evangelist extends the frontier of Yahweh kingdom. And you can see the ministry. I give you a few verses. You can look them up at your leisure time. They're in your Bible if you have not tore your pages out. In Philippians, also in Acts 6:3-7, chapter 8:5-40, 21-8. You know, they are co-workers with an extension of apostolic ministry. Who will go? Who shall I send? You know, this question is being asked every day. Some say, I'll go, Lord. I'll do. But when you look for them, you can't find them. Someone need to publish the good news. Someone need to bring joy to our cities, like Philip, the evangelist, did to Samaria by preaching there. Thank God for the evangelist, the reaper, the gatherer, the preacher, the firelighter, the flame igniter, and yes, a part of the fivefold ministry. You know, when you think about it, we desire that all evangelists, whether it's a man or woman, be doing what God have called them to do. Don't let nobody, if it's an evangelist out there listening today, don't let anybody talk you down on the ministry God have given you. You go about doing what God have given to you. If you know you're an apostle, be the best apostle that you can be. You're a prophet, be the prophet that God have called you to be. If you're an evangelist, be what God have called you to be. A pastor, a teacher, do what God have called you to do. Because there's so many people being swayed by what other people are saying or what other people are doing. But when it boils down to it, you've got to be accountable to God. Not your neighbor, not your husband, not your wife, but you got to be accountable to God. And if he called you to do something, you better be on your journey doing it, because you don't want to be whipped by many stripes without heeding the call from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Yahweh. You know, I'm going down to a pastor. You know, a pastor is not simply a leader over a local church, but has a body-wide expression of ministry. As one of the fivefold ministry, a pastor is, in present terminology, more accurate, a pastor or pastors or a pastor of elders beyond the local body. A pastor emphasis in ministry is in relationship networking. He is put there as the shepherd over the flock. He don't take precision over the evangelist. He don't take precision over the prophet. And he for sure don't take precision over the apostle. Each person in the fivefold ministry need to learn their place in the fivefold ministry. Not that God may not have given you three or four gifts to work in that area, but you know your main expertise that God have given to you, that he wants you to do. And so, the Greek word for pastor, pomani, means to tend sheep or care for flocks. And that's what God, the pastor is supposed to tend to the sheep that God have added to the church daily, or the flock. You read that in 1 Peter 5, 1 and 4. John 2, 15 through 17. You know, but this word is usually only in Ephesians 4 and 11. Everywhere in the New Testament, other words are used: shepherd, elder, overseer. This is significant. So a comparison of these ministries should be made. Thank God for pastor given by God according to his own heart to feed us with knowledge and understanding. My, my, my. Do I have anyone? I have a pastor that's on the line, not area code 832. Would you like to say something, area code 832? Praise God. Would anyone from area code 304 like to say anything today?
No.
Because you're free to talk on this show, baby. We all here to learn. Because it might be something I learned today that I didn't know. So feel free. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Let me come down to the teacher. You know, how is knowledge to be imparted to the body of Christ? You'll find that in Hosea 4 and 6. Declare that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. My, my, my. The only way to impart knowledge to God's people is to teach. You'll find that in Exodus 24 and 12. And do I have anybody where I take, I'm going to take a little break. Do anybody want to say anything before I bring on any music at this time?
Well, can I ask you about the evangelist?
Yes, ma'am.
Are they supposed to be anointed to do signs and wonders for God, other than preaching about the death and burial and resurrection? Do they supposed to, you know, lay hands on the sick, work miracles?
If God has given that evangelist that gift, she can do it. She or he.
Right. Okay.
If God has given that to an evangelist, because you can be in a service, you may not know or realize you have that gift. You could be in
a
service, and this is needed. And God, the Holy Ghost, will tell you to get up right then and lay hands by the Holy Ghost, not out the flesh, but out the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Uh-huh. And it's a prophet. Prophet, would you please address that question, because I don't want to tell this young lady anything wrong.
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am, it's quite apparent that you have the gift of an evangelist on your life. Is that right, ma'am?
Well, no, I was, because I did go to, and it's so funny, Prophetess Tish, you know, she texted me early this morning about the class, and I went to a supernatural fivefold ministry school, and I do have this literature. And ever since I've been in church, you know, we had evangelists, and I've really never seen them do any signs, wonders, and miracles. I've seen them pray, you know, the plan of salvation, you know, like that, but I've never really actually seen them, you know, performing these miracles and whatnot. And so I'm looking at my book and seeing that they should be equipped to work miracles and healings, you know, and send a message to the lost people, you know, things like that. But I've never really, really seen evangelists using, you know, that type of gift. And so that's what I'm wondering, because I've never really, really seen them do it. Two, you was talking about the prophets. I must be, you know, they talk about the prophets. I think these days, really, people are scared of prophets. And two, then you do have a lot of prophets that they are scamming people. You know, I was talking to someone about how this, you know, this particular sister came to this church, and the pastor, he was a prophet too, and he saw that this young lady had someone in the family died and gave her, you know, was giving her, inheritance. And he prophesied that to her. And so, make a long story short, he befriended her and scammed her out of a lot of her money. And so she was thinking that he wanted her because he was like, you know, in that, you know, whatever. And so she finally realized he didn't want her. But you do have a lot of prophets out there. They're telling people if you want to be healed, you know, give a certain amount of money. Now, that happened to me when I was like a baby in the Lord. This prophet was speaking to me on the phone and told me that I was going to get some kind of disease, and that if I don't give, like, he wanted me to send him money, and that one day they're going to find out I have this disease, and it's going to be too late. And so then also you have in church, you know, like I said, the prophets are true, or some of you, the pastors, a lot of the pastors, evangelists, church members, you know, none of us are perfect, are doing things, you know, outside of the will of God, and they don't want to be exposed. So you have that in the church, you know, and then it's just, the Lord is right. It's going to be a great falling away, and people are going to be waxed cold. And but really, it's like now, it's like a money thing. It's, you know, if you want to be healed, you want to bless them, send in $100, get in $100 line, the $1,000 line, and I see this miracle, and I want you to send me money. it's like that now. And I think a lot of churches also are scared, you know, of that type of ministry because they're probably afraid that their ministry will fold, you know, because you have, and then you have prophets also telling people that, you know, that one prophet told this particular person, your husband's going to get out of jail in so many days, and the sister was so happy. And make a long story short, that particular time came, and the husband never did get out of jail. And so then next thing you know, they start critiquing the messages that people, when you say that you've been called to be a pastor, prophet, or whatever, they would have a lot of the pastors and the ministers critiquing their method, or they brought it, you know, to the congregation. So there's a lot going on in the church. And then, you know, the men are scared of a lot of the men are scared of the women because women, you know, they have a genuine love for the Lord, and we do listen to the Lord, you know, to hear his instructions. A lot of us don't do it, but when they do preach, they preach sincerely, and God is really blessing the women. And so I think a lot of the men are they're afraid that the women are going to take from them, you know. But we all need prayer because it's just it's not like it used to be. You know, people scared of, like my church, I'm in my church, and when the Lord wants to bring in his glory, and I'm noticing they stop everything, and then they start preaching. It's like, are we scared now of the power of God? Or I don't know. I'm not saying it right. It's just I just don't know what's going on. And you know, it's people don't want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. A lot of them don't want to see it. But then you do have the other churches, like the Mexican people. They're really being used by the Lord now. You know, because they're in their service, they do a lot of praise and they do a lot of worship, and they're not time conscious. You know, everybody looks at their clocks, you know, in my circle, you know, they're ready to get out of church so they can go eat, you know, things like that. But people just don't want to wait on the Lord, and a lot of churches just believe in the plan of salvation and just preach the message, and you're just going on. They don't have time, you know, to lay before the people. Or it's just, it's a lot going on. It's a lot going on.
Praise the Lord, my sister.
It's a lot going on.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I can feel your pain. I can feel your agony. When you look at the fact of how you've been raised and what you have seen to prove that the presence of God is real, it is very difficult to look because of the fact that you've got a lot of hype with no manifestation and no demonstration.
Yeah.
And at the school to where I'm the general overseer at, I want you to hear me very carefully. We've got a school called Yahweh School of the Prophets. And I was faced with the same dilemma as you were about what is really going on. And I asked the Lord, do you want me to start another church? He said, no, I need you to start a school because my manifestations and my demonstrations are not being seen. So we had to start a school called Yahweh School of the Prophets to teach people how to demonstrate that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that his signs and wonders are still taking place today as they were during his times. So I asked the Lord, I said, how do we do this? Now, listen to me, my sister. What's your name?
It's Gwen.
Okay, Gwen. Let me show you how the Lord showed me to do this, all right?
Okay.
He said, now, I'm going to show you the how. Now, when you ask yourself the questions about how healing takes place, how deliverance takes place, you don't know how it takes place because all you hear is what you already know. You know, Gwen, that God is a deliverer, and you know that he's a healer, right?
Yes, sir.
But the question is, how does healing take place? How does deliverance take place? Now, the only person that can teach that is the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
And as you said out of your own mouth, the Holy Ghost is not permitted to get cranked up in the church.
So, no, he's not.
So when you think about it, you cannot see signs and wonders unless it comes through the Holy Ghost. Now, what you said about the Mexican churches, you don't see none of the pastors drive up in no Cadillac.
Nope.
You see all of the people, they're still humbly minded, but they're sincere, they're committed, and they devoted. They're trying to seek God for who God is. But let me show you something. I'm going to say something to you, my sister. See, what is happening, we that are blacks, the majority of us, we are in the church, but the church is not in us. That's the difference right there. See, once you learn how to get the church in you, Gwen, signs and wonders will follow you like they follow in us at Yahweh School of the Prophets. We see those signs. We see the blinded eyes open. We see the dead that's raised. We see the high blood pressure, the sugar diabetes, the gout arthritis removed. We see people that are paralyzed, able to walk. We see that. And the Bible shows us and tells us that these signs will follow them that believe. But the question, Gwen, is this. How do you get there? Let me show you right fast. You get there by developing the right relationship with the Holy Ghost. Now, here's the problem. Most people have a relationship with Jesus. Most people have a relationship with God. But they don't have a relationship with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of Truth. This is why I come with so inadequate. This is why you don't see the signs and the wonders. This is why we're incomplete. Because we're in the church, but the church is not in us. Now, the question that you need to ask yourself, my sister, is the church in you?
Okay, let me tell you this, because I shared it the last time, how the Lord told me to come to this particular church, and by me being shy and quiet or whatever, and they had me to pray. They had an intercessory prayer, and they asked me to pray. And I said, oh, Lord, you know, and so I said and asked the Lord, said, Lord, you have to speak for me. So when I opened my mouth, the Lord had me to, you know, the prophesy healing, deliverance on this person, what was going on in the church. And, I mean, it was, like, overwhelming. And the Lord was answering prayers. And all of a sudden, they stopped it. I mean, people, demons started coming out of people. People got mad in the church, left the church. It was a mess. So that's why I do have a problem. I need to, you know, you all on the phone to pray for me, because when the Lord showed me, he wanted to use me and bless me or whatever. And every time I turn around, I keep getting shot down. And so I just go in the corner and do nothing. No, I mean... He does use me in that area, but it seems like my church doesn't want it. and different things, you know, how the Lord had used me in other churches, they shoot me down. I mean, what is that? I was trying to ask you all the last time I, you know, spoke with, what is it?
It's a spirit of
sin. I'm in disobedience to the Lord. You know, I don't want the Lord to take me out of here. You know, I don't talk like everybody, but I'm trying, you know, to do what he want me to do. You know, some of the things he want me to do, but I just keep getting shot down. So what do you do with that?
You do, Gwen, just like what we've done. Is anybody, this is where you're making your mistake at. You want to hear where your mistake is?
What is that?
Do you want to really hear your mistake?
Oh, God, yes, please.
Okay, let me tell you where your mistake is. Your mistake is you trying to be approved of man. Let me give you an example of what I mean by that. We go to the hospitals. Ain't no church people going to stop you from going to no hospital. Hello.
Well, I didn't say I was in the hospital. I said the church.
Listen to what I'm saying. You're not listening, baby girl. I'm saying if you want to be used by God and get the satisfaction that you need, that God is using you, you can't go into a den of iniquity and expect for God to use you there. Every place that says it's a church of God is not a church of God. But you got to do what God has called you to do. If you got a gift on your life, take the gift like Jesus did. They wouldn't let him in the church either, Gwen. So he went out on the street and took him away from the church. And they said, well, we got to kill him because look at all the people that's following him because of the gift that's on his life. That's what God is waiting for you to do, is to take that gift, that anointing that you got, to the hospitals, to the jails, to the nursing homes, and God is going to reward you with peace and comfort and joy. But if you're trying to get in these places that's already established and they know that here it is, you coming in with a gift and you're going to embarrass them and you're going to make them look bad because you got an anointing and they don't, they're going to always shut you down. They did it to me, but they can't do it now. Because the people at the hospitals are calling from it. The people at the nursing homes. The people at the jails. The people is what made Jesus what he was, Gwen. Not the church, not the synagogues. Do you understand me, daughter?
Yes, sir. And the reason why I said it like that, because that's what the prophet on the phone, the evangelist on the phone, was talking about the five-fold ministry, what's happening into the church. You know, she wasn't saying the hospital or whatever. She was saying directly that's in the church. Now, you're right. The Lord did speak to my spirit and going to the highways and hedges. And you're right. He did come out and tell me that. And I see what you're saying, and I thank you for that because I didn't try to expose anyone. I didn't call out anybody's name or anything like that. You know, it wasn't like that, you know, saying that you this, you that, because I learned, you know, not to do that, you know. But I see what you're saying. Yes, you're right. So who wants somebody to come in their, okay, house and do, okay, it's like tearing it down because you allow your house to be this way, that way, and then you have somebody come in your house, and that's like stepping on your territory. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, here it is. You going to come in. And all of a sudden, I'm making all this money and telling folks I got power. I'm telling folks I got an anointing, but they don't ever see it, and they believe by hype that that you do have it. And you come in and show the true power of God, who you think they going to follow? They're going to follow you. So in order to keep you from getting the people, they told Jesus, they said, well, Jesus, we got to put you out of the church. And the Lord Jesus told him, he said, I'm going to show you what this anointing will do. This anointing will show you that I can get up in the fields. And all I've got to do is open my mouth, and that anointing is going to draw people to me. And that's what it did. And that's what you've got to do. Since the Lord is crying out to you to tell you that with the gift that's on your life, all you have to do, it ain't no nursing home or hospital that's going to prevent you from going in and showing your gift. We have never been refused yet. We've had people that can have congested heart failure. Their hearts have been restored. People that was paralyzed. People that was blind. Their kidneys. All of this has been done, and we didn't have to go through no church, my sister. We went to God, and God will lead the way. That's your word today, and it wasn't by accident that you on this line waiting for your direction, okay?
That's true, because my thing is, Lord, show me the way, and thank you. He's showing me. Thank you.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. You got your direction.
Amen.
Well, Madam Teacher, back to you.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We have another caller, area code 832. Have they hanging up? They want to say something, too? We have a few more minutes because I should have did this one for an hour and a half today. Hallelujah. Area code 832, you're now on. Praise God. I guess they on another line or something, but they put their hand up. They wanted to speak. But we give God praise today for those that did come on, those that participated. We had one or two that came on and went back off. So we hope that they'll listen to this program in the archives. And area code 304, anybody you know that needs this, have them to listen to this broadcast, Joy and Peace. And if they need to send me a message, you can send me a message through Joy and Peace through Blog Talk. And I'll be happy to direct you. If I don't know it, I will direct you to the right source, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to thank everyone today for coming on this program. I only put it on for an hour today. And I want to thank God for him being the orchestrator of this program. I want to thank the apostle, evangelist, and a pastor for coming on, and a prophetess. I had all the ministry that I was listening and didn't finish with the teacher, but all those I had on here, overseer, myself included, I had each fivefold ministry on this line today, and I give God praise for what we have heard today. I thank God for the breakthrough for the young lady from area code 304. And do come back, folks. Don't let this be your first time or your last time coming in, because I have a program on every Wednesday at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11, and I can go longer, but that's what I have for right now. And if we have some topics that we need to talk longer on, we sure will be talking longer on it. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I just thank y'all for coming on the line today. Thank the prophet from Atlanta, Georgia, by way of Atlanta, Georgia to Galveston, Texas at this time. I just give God praise for what he's doing and what he's going to do. So until next Wednesday, I want y'all to be blessed. Love each and every one of you all. If I had the tentacle of an octopus, I would hug each and every one of you all and tell you just how much I love you. Thank you so much for this broadcast that I know Jesus is looking down, smiling on each and every one of you. So, daughter, area code 304, get up. Starting this week, go to the nursing home. Go to the hospital. Someone home. Somebody needs you. Don't just wait for the church folks to do it, because they're going to turn you back. So do the work God have called for you to do. And until next Wednesday, y'all be blessed. Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.